We're going to practice. All to Jesus I surrender, okay? Doesn't matter about the tune. Tony's not up there. The angels aren't singing back here. It's just us now, girls. So let's sing it to the Lord. Okay, you guys remember the tune? Okay, here we go. All to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him. In his presence daily live. Oh, you're good, girls. Oh, amen. Praise the Lord. Is that a beautiful song? Those are the ones that come back to you. You know, you're doing housework and all of a sudden, boom, it comes back to you and you sing that little chorus. They are so powerful. We need to be singing these kinds of songs all the time. And we get sidetracked, don't we? You know, we start listening to all this other kind of music, and that's one of those things that you can surrender to the Lord. You can surrender your musical taste. Did you know that? Might have been something that you never even thought of, but you can say, you know what, Lord? I love you more than my music, so I'm going to surrender my musical taste to you. You provide for me. You know what I like already. Provide me with godly Christian music that I, you know, has the same tune, but I can worship you with it, right? This is kind of an old fogey. I know. I'm getting kind of old fogey, and I'm going back to these things. I'm going back to the old hymns. The older I get, I'm going back to them. And I love this one. In his presence daily live, I surrender all. So that's one of those ones that we're going to sing. We'll sing it all weekend. And I know you guys have good voices. Some of you really remembered that one. I'm very, very proud. But what should we be doing to the Lord? Worshiping him when? All the time with all kinds of songs. And I want to make that encouragement only because some of you get a little nervous at the kind of interlude sometimes in between the songs, and you don't really know what to say, and they're not really words, and how do you worship like that? And some of you are very comfortable that way, and some of you aren't. But this is a training ground, okay? You're on a campus, okay? You're learning this weekend. And I want some of you to surrender your inhibitions of free worship. And that's what I call it, free worship, because you get to make up your own words. You get to make up whatever you think about the Lord. And the more you know the Lord, the more things you'll have to say about him. The more you spend time with him, the more he'll reveal himself to you, and those are the things that you'll sing to him about. Why are the Psalms so precious to us? Because David spent a lot of time when he was a young boy out in the fields worshiping the Lord. And he learned who God was, and he made up these beautiful songs with his instruments and his voice and all the things that he did out there. It was just him and the sheep. You know, and he sang to the Lord, and it honored the Lord, and the Lord chose him to be the king. So there's a place in your life for this free style of worship. And some of you, this is old hat. You know this. We've talked about it before, but there are some ladies that don't feel comfortable. So what I'm giving you permission to do is to try it on this weekend. So when there's time in between the songs, you try on the fact of, okay, what do we know about the Lord? We know that he's good. We know that he's our provider. We know that we want to bless his name. We want to know that he's full of justice, full of righteousness, that he's altogether lovely, that he's beautiful, that he is our strong tower, that we are his children, that his train fills the temple. I mean, I could, you know, you could just go on and on and on. Those are the things that you speak to the Lord in that free period of worship. And it's important to do that. Again, it's like a muscle. You've got to exercise it to feel comfortable. It's kind of like praying in front of people. When you first started to pray, you didn't really want to pray out loud. And so then you get around in a group and you hear other people pray, and then you kind of copycat them. You don't really have your own prayer style. But then as you begin to pray and spend more time with the Lord, you have your own prayer style, right? And so same with worship. You're going to have your own worship style, but you got to practice. So I'm giving you permission. You have permission to practice your free worship in the sanctuary here, but in your rooms, in the shower, as you're walking around the beautiful grounds. There's all kinds of places where you can sing and make melody in your heart to the Lord. So will you try that this weekend? Will you surrender your inhibition? Surrender your horrible voice. You see, that's the thing. The Lord, it's not horrible to the Lord. It does, might not sound good to us or sound good to others, but to the Lord, it's sweet. To the Lord, it's sweet. It's like when that new baby cries. I mean, to the mom, it's sweet. Babies cry, it doesn't matter. It's sweet. So that's how it is to the Lord. So I'm giving you permission to try it on, to practice, and to become more comfortable with it, because it's something that you should be doing. If you do it all week long, then when your worship leader at your church, Calvary Chapel Amorada, Pastor Dave gets up there and there's time for free worship, boom. Why do you think he can do that so well? What do you think? Okay, yeah, he's surrendered, but practice makes perfect, right? Just like with anything. And you practice and you sing, and it can't just be something that you do on Sunday. You know, if you only drove to church on Sunday, you'd be a hazard the rest of the week, right? It's the practicing, the driving, the, you know what I'm saying? You got to practice every day, whatever it is. So you got to, worship, you got to spend that time. And so again, that time, a lot of time that we have, I mean, how many women are in the car at some point during the day? Okay, well, that's the majority of us. The other ones, how many of you are home? If you're not home or in the car, where are you? No, you're at work. I don't know where you're at, but, you know, find that time for the Lord. I mean, you know, if you have that hour lunch, you know, you go out to your car and you worship for 10 or 15 minutes or whatever the case may be. Okay, that's my last little bit on worship. I want you guys to be worshipers. That's important. This is a great place to do it. We can honor the Lord and bow down and worship and raise our hands, and it's awesome. Okay, go ahead and get your Bibles out. We're going to be going through some different scriptures. I have two translations. How many of you use the NIV? Anybody? Okay, and how many of you use New King James? Okay, New King James is like at church what I usually read. But you know, I like, this is my grandmother's Bible. This is, it's got her little notes in it and stuff. And so I like to read out of the NIV as well. I have an open Bible. I have Greg Laurie's Bible. I like all different translations because a lot of them have different meanings. You know, not, I shouldn't say different meanings, but they say it in just a different way. And it's a little bit clearer. So we're going to be using both of these this weekend, but let's go ahead and turn to our theme verse, which is Matthew 16:25. One good thing about retreat, when you go away with the retreat theme, by the end of the weekend, you should have that one verse at least memorized. So I want you guys to take out a pencil, and somewhere on this, on the front cover, on the back cover, on the inside cover, somewhere in pretty good sight, I want you to write the verse down, our theme verse, Matthew 16:25. Now we're going to say it, we're going to write it down, and by the end of the week, you guys aren't even going to look at it. I'm going to say, let's recite that verse, and by Sunday, we're going to have this verse down. It's pretty easy. Whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Matthew 16:25. Okay, whoever desires to save his life, these are Jesus' words, will lose it. That's why they're written in red. Aren't they written in red in your Bible? But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Write that down somewhere. We might write it down two or three different times, but we're going to talk about it. We're going to kind of try to dissect it and kind of get through the theme of surrender. So I looked up the meaning of surrender, and there are so many different meanings. And I should say they're all the same meaning, but different words to describe the meaning of surrender. So I'll read those off while you guys are writing. Say it with me. Whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Great, you're on your way. Meaning of surrender, to yield, to submit, to give in, to relent, to knuckle under, to say uncle, to concede, to give way, to allow, to bow down, to cave in, to hand over, to relinquish, to quit. One little word means all those things to surrender. Let me read them again. To yield, to submit, to give in, to relent, to knuckle under, to say uncle, to concede, to give way, to allow, to bow down, to cave in, to hand over, to relinquish, to quit. So I started to think about different examples of surrender. Okay, so the biggest one, now I don't know, I don't even think I was born when all this was happening, but I thought of World War II, right? And we had the big atom bomb. And we dropped it, and it was horrific. On Hiroshima, however you pronounce it. And what did the Japanese do? That's huge. That was a surrender. Then I thought about another thing of surrender. I thought about my two boys, and they love to fight. And, you know, they're wrestling all over the house, and I actually have three boys. They wrestle all over the place, but inevitably, the bigger one gets on top of the little one and has his fist and says, "Say uncles." And, you know, if they don't say it, what are they going to do? They're going to hit him as hard as they can. "Uncle, uncle, I just, you know, uncle." Okay, that's to surrender. You've got, you know, they wrestled, they did everything, but eventually one got on top and was going to get pounded if the other one didn't say uncle. And sometimes they say uncle and they still get it, right? Because they're boys and that's what boys do. But the other one I thought was classic about surrendering was on the freeway. And I've been driving a lot on the freeway in the last few months. And you know, just the ebb and flow of L.A. traffic, Orange County traffic, you know, you have to surrender. You yield. And if you don't, what happens? There's an accident. And there's accidents every day on every freeway because someone didn't yield. Someone didn't pull back. Someone said, "I'm changing lanes no matter what. Get out of my way." And the other person said, "Hey, I was here first," and kaboom, right? You have to surrender. Now, what about in marriage? Do you have positions of surrender in marriage? "I give up." Or with your children, there's certain things, you know, maybe they just, you know, can't keep their room clean. And you finally just say, "I give up." You've got a teenager, they will not clean their room. And finally, it's either you or them, and you just have to close the door and walk away. You just surrender to the fact the room stinks like a gym and it's just never going to smell better until they move out. That's just it. So, you know, there's certain things that you surrender. Now, there's certain things you wouldn't surrender on with your children. Like, would you surrender the fact of telling them to brush their teeth? No. If you did, what would be, I mean, you know, want your kids' teeth all falling out? I mean, you know, that would be pretty awful. And, you know, you just, there's certain things that you will not surrender on. And you will just pound that into them, whatever it needs to do to get them to brush their teeth or to floss their teeth or, you know, to wear deodorant or, I don't know, whatever it is that you're trying to work with your kids to do. There's lots of things. But we want to talk about a spiritual surrender. A spiritual surrender. And where we find that, the best picture in all the Bible is Philippians chapter 2. So let's go ahead and turn there together. And before we read this, I'm just going to go ahead and... just pray. Lord, this is a just an intense passage of scripture that we're going to be reading right now. So just minister by your Holy Spirit. Just open your word, Lord, to our hearts. God, I know that you faithfully have cultivated, Lord, the soil of our hearts, that we're ready, that we're available, that we're willing, that we are surrendering our hearts to you, Lord, to hear from you. So speak to us, God, from your word, we pray tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so we're going to start at verse 5. It says, "Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking on the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, and at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father." So our greatest example of surrender was Jesus Christ himself, who was in heaven and came down to earth. And surrendered his deity, became a man, born of a virgin, raised in a family. He had a mother, had a stepfather. Splendid families back then. Had brothers, had sisters, had aunts, had uncles, had cousins. Had a life, had a trade. He was a carpenter. He knew the scriptures, he studied. He was a good Jewish boy. He taught the teachers. So, I mean, to surrender your deity, I can't think of what more God could have done to reveal himself to us. So that's the greatest example of surrender. We see Jesus' surrendered life. And then he goes and he dies on a cross for us. And, you know, going through these scriptures, a lot of these scriptures for a mature believer, you kind of, you've read them before, you studied them before, but to really look at these scriptures again with freshness, I think that's what we lack sometimes. And I know in one thing that the Lord's been dealing with me is the surrendering of my devotion time, because I just get in these ruts and I just do the same thing every day. You know, it's kind of like when we get in those ruts where we eat the same thing all the time, where we do the same thing every day, and finally you just say, I can't take it anymore, and you've got to break free. And that's the point that I got to. I can't take it anymore. There's got to be something different. Lord, I'm surrendering this to you. I mean, I'm doing the right thing, but there needs to be a freshness to it. And I think in our walks with the Lord, for those of us that have walked with the Lord for a while, and that's one question I wanted to ask you ladies, how many have walked with the Lord for over 30 years? Raise your hand. Over 30 years. Yeah, you guys are old. Okay, over 20 years. Okay. All right. 10 years. Okay, there we go. 5 years. Okay. All right, so you guys, 10 years. In 10 years, do you feel like you've hit some ruts? If you haven't, I would like to talk to you after this message. You know, I just think that there are things that we need to get back to, and we need to look at the Word again. And that's why it's so important for you ladies to be in Bible study. And I don't care if it's a Bible study or a church. You've got to be going somewhere. You have to be interacting with other women. And the Word needs to stay fresh. And it's ironing, sharpening iron. Take your two hands together and rub them together. And what happens? What happens to you? Rub them together. What? They get warm. What's happening? What's it called? Friction. Oh, a lot of homeschool moms out there. Good. Okay. That's what it does when you get with another believer and you start talking about the things of the Lord and you warm each other up and that friction starts happening. We've been talking in our Bible study and again, going through this book and going through some very familiar passages. One of the things was the burning bush. Okay. How many know the story of Moses and the burning bush? Okay, very familiar story, right? And as a kid, I have these pictures. You know, humans are very visual. And I have this picture of what the picture looked like on the wall in my classroom when I was a kid. And I don't know if you remember back in, you know, the 60s, there were these certain pictures that, like, everybody had. You know, there weren't all the Bible bookstores and all the different companies. There was just, like, one set of pictures and everybody had them. I don't care if you were Catholic or Protestant. They all looked the same. They were just these pictures. And there was one of the burning bush. So we're talking about that at Bible study, and how many of you have read that recently? Okay. And when what did you find new in that when you read it? Who was at Bible study? Okay, Jessica. Yes. So the angel of the Lord, being Jesus, was actually in the bush that he saw that. And like, okay, now I had never read that before. And looking at it in the book, and I'm looking at the Bible, and I read it, and I'm like, did I just read that right? And I read it again, and then I go to another translation, I'm reading it again, and yeah, that the angel of the Lord was actually in the bush. Now, all I can remember as a kid is that the bush was burning, but it wasn't consumed. And so I'm thinking, am I the only one? You know, I have to ask the Bible Answer Man, Pastor Brian, that's what I call him. That's his nickname, my personal nickname that I call him. Don't you call him, he's mine. My Bible Answer Man. Your husband, it needs to be your Bible Answer Man. And so, of course, I said, well, man, I'm just going to have to ask the Bible Answer Man about this. But I happened to be at Bible study, and Mrs. Bible Answer Man was sitting to the right of me, and that's Wendy. And so Wendy's already, like, in her Bible, you know, she's got the degree from Biola, and she's looking at it, and she's like, yeah, Jesus was in the bush, you know. And so then, of course, I had to ask the Bible Answer Man, do you know this? And so, like, you know, I read it to him, and so we have this big conversation. But that's what I'm talking about. You know, sometimes the Word of God can just get so old, and we know this story already, and if you tell it to me one more time, you're just going to burn me out. I don't want to hear about Daniel in the lion's den again. But you know what? There's fresh stuff in there. There's fresh stuff. That's why you got to turn the radio on, and you hear other teachers, and other teachers bring out different things in the Word, and it's important. It's important. So we're reading this passage of scripture, and it's good. It's good for us to think about Jesus letting go of the deity, coming down to earth, and what that means for us. Let's go ahead and look at Luke 23. Turn together with me. The reason I really brought two Bibles, if you guys want to know it, not the real reason, but one of the reasons is this is the one I always carry at church because it fits in my purse and it's in my book Bible all the time. But this one, the letters are big and my eyes like it. And so it's easy for me, but I'm going to read from the little one right here. So 23:34. In that passage that we read in Philippians, when we go back to that, it talks about Jesus dying on the cross. So he basically surrendered his deity, and then he surrendered his life for us, right, for our sins. So the whole surrendering thing is giving up, yielding his spirit. So let's go ahead and read that together. It says, and Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And then he cried out with a loud voice, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit, and he breathed his last. So it wasn't as if, like for you and I, when we die, it says there's one time appointed for a man to die, and then it's judgment. So there's a time that God's appointed for all of us to die, but for Jesus, he died when he wanted to, when he breathed his last breath, when he made the decision to surrender his life, that's when he did it. And I don't know if I'd ever really thought about that before. I mean, I knew it, but I began to meditate and began to ponder on, you know what, the Lord breathing his last breath. I mean, he could have took 3 or 4 or 5 or 10 more, stayed alive for another 10 minutes or an hour or whatever. But that was the time when he yielded his spirit to the Father. And what was so interesting, the other passage, let's go to Matthew 26, in the Garden of Gethsemane. How many of you have been to Israel and have been to the garden? Anybody? And you were there just this year, huh, recently? Every Christian, and I tell you guys this all the time, but every Christian, every believer needs to go to Israel. You really do. It's so awesome over there. To be in the place where Jesus, where all the things happened in the Bible and where he walked and where he taught and the Old Testament and the New Testament, it all comes together and you see it all and you touch it and you feel it and you can pick up one of the rocks. It's one of the free things that you can pick up in Israel. You know, when Jesus came down on the donkey and it said if people didn't, you know, Hosanna, Hosanna, if that didn't happen, what would have happened? The rocks would have cried out. You can actually pick up a rock. Ah, you know, this is a rock that didn't have to cry out. You know, just things like that. It's so awesome. So whether it's with our church or another church or with your own family or whatever, go with somebody. Get there and be blessed beyond what you can think. It just puts everything into perspective and you see it all right there. And that's where the end of the world's going to take place anyways. You might as well know the New Jerusalem's going to hover over right there. You should get to know it. You're going to be there. So there's another little plug. I want you guys in Israel. Okay, Matthew 26:39. Okay, so he's in Gethsemane and he's praying and he's thinking about, you know, he knows he's going to die and it's a struggle for him and it's this whole surrendering of his will and surrendering to the will of the Father. And 39 says, and he went a little farther and he fell on his face and he prayed. And I think I've missed that he fell on his face. That he fell on his face. He was just in this agony. Oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. And then he came to the disciples, and he found them sleeping and said, what, could you not watch with me for an hour? Watch and pray, lest you fall into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And a second time he went away and he prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me unless I drink it, your will be done. And he came and he found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. So he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. So there's just a subtle difference in there. And I don't know if you guys caught it or not, but 39 reads, oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. He says it in 42. Oh, my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me unless I drink it, Your will be done. And then he says it a third time, but it doesn't actually repeat the words. There's a subtle difference in there. And I was meditating on this and thinking about this, and I just, you know, the Lord just ministered to me. It was that struggle. He knew that he was going to do the will of the Father. He knew it, because that's the whole reason why Jesus came. But there was a struggle in there. There was a surrendering. There was, Jesus still had to do that. And that's what we have to do. And there's things in our lives that are going to come up. This came up, you know, three times. It was the same issue. And it came up three times for Jesus when he was in the garden. So you start thinking about your life, and you think about, you know, maybe not in the same evening, but there are issues, surrender issues, that come up over and over and over again in your life because you won't surrender them to the Lord Jesus Christ. How many, am I talking to just myself, or has that happened to everybody? Oh, probably everybody. There's issues. And women, I'm sorry, women, you know, we have a lot of issues. And, you know, it's just the way God made us. What can we say? You know, we struggle with lots of different things. And there's issues, surrender issues that come up time and time again. And the Lord will bring those issues up more than just three times. He will bring them up over and over again until you surrender. But it has to be a willing surrender. And what Jesus says here is our example. It's not his will, it was the Father's will. And we have to get to that place, those places of surrender, where, you know what, we're willing to, like I read you before, to cave in if that's what it takes. The one thing I wrote, to cave in, usually when you say that, it means to, like, under pressure, to cave in under pressure. I don't think that's how the Father delights to lead us. You know, he doesn't want to just, you know, be that taskmaster just coming after you time after time after time. You know, he wants to do that dance that I've talked to you about where, it, you know, how many of you watch Dancing with the Stars? Anybody? Okay. All right, don't admit it. Okay, but anyways, you know, the way they dance, it's like, you know, we envision ourselves, you know, we're that girl flipping and doing, you know. And, but, you know, the touch is so light and so gentle when they dance, and it's so beautiful. You know, just think about that. Get that visual picture in your mind of you and the Holy Spirit. He should just be able to just touch you and you move. It shouldn't be this big, huge struggle. You know what I'm saying? That struggle, it's too much. I'm going to read you this little story. I think you'll love it. I know I did. This is from my little daily devotion, Where's the Leash? Maybe some of you that read daily devotions might have read this one, but recently while out for Chinese food with friends, I noticed a man walking his dog past the restaurant. Normally, I wouldn't have looked twice, but the dog's owner had taken the leash, put it in a figure eight configuration, and placed it firmly in the dog's mouth. So you got to get a picture of that. Here's the owner. There's the dog. The dog has the leash in his mouth, walking with the owner. You got that picture? My friend explained to me that it's against the law in their town to walk a dog without a leash. This clever dog owner had found a loophole. The law didn't stipulate that you actually had to hold the leash. The amazing part is not the loophole, but that the dog was walking in obedient step with his owner, even though he could have bolted away to chase the nearby squirrel. Our walk with God needs to be like that. While God in his mercy gives us a long leash and rarely gives us spiritual whiplash by yanking on it, he doesn't delight in the struggle to keep us in line. He delights when we walk in a surrendered way with him. When Israel whined to the prophet Micah about how hard they thought it was to please God, he replied with a simple, straightforward way to please him. Let's go ahead and turn there in Micah. It's in the Old Testament, Micah 6:8. It says, what does the Lord require of you, this surrendered life that we're talking about, but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Being just and loving mercy while we walk humbly with God brings him great pleasure, and you'll know he is pleased when he doesn't have to hold your leash anymore. Now just think about that. One of my favorite programs on TV is The Dog Whisperer. I love The Dog Whisperer. How many of you have seen that show? Okay. For anybody that has had a disobedient dog, how can you not but love? What's the guy's name? Caesar. I love Caesar. And you know what? It's because he really trains the owners. The owners are wacky. You know, they really are, but sometimes they remind me of me, you know, these certain things that I do, and you know, with your animals and things, and what's the problem is that the people are turning the animals in, they're trying to make the animals into people, and the dogs are dogs, and he tries to explain to them, this is a dog, it thinks differently than you. But, you know, what he can do, he's like a dog psychologist, you know, and you think that that doesn't exist, but he can manipulate with just a few things, and these dogs walk in obedience. And so, again, I know we don't want to think of ourselves as dogs, so let's go back to the Dancing with the Stars. That's a little more feminine, a little bit better picture for us, but that's the way it needs to be. Jesus, by his Holy Spirit, needs to be able to move you in such a way. And that's a surrendered lifestyle. So you can't have all these different areas, but then there's one where you won't surrender. And only you know what that is. And usually when you're young in the Lord begins to deal with things that are on the outside. Maybe it's your speech. He cleans your speech up. Or maybe it's the way you dress. He cleans the way you dress up. Or maybe it's, you know, whatever provocative thing that you're doing is. Maybe it's, you know, outwardly, you know, the smoking or the drinking or the drug using or whatever. Okay. But as you walk with the Lord for a time, what does he start to clean up? The stuff that's on the inside. And as you walk even longer, it's all the stuff that's up here in the mind. Nobody can see it. Just you and God. Your kids don't see it. Your husband doesn't see it. Your friends, your pastor, your pastor's wife, nobody sees it. It's just you and the Lord. Up here in the deep, dark recesses of our mind. And we need to surrender those things to the Lord. And those things that are outward, that are just very out there, you know, he takes care of those. But he takes those away first, and then he begins to work on the inner person. And that's a process. It's a process of surrender. That is, it's not like all of a sudden you arrive. The Christian experience, the Christian life is surrendering throughout the entire phase until you go to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. There's always going to be something that you have to surrender to the Lord because he never quits working on us. He takes the big things and then he whittles away and then he just starts at your thought life. And we're going to talk about that in one of the sessions, about just the things, the prejudices that you don't think you have. Have you ever found yourself in that situation? Where you don't think you're prejudiced until someone does something to you and you say, oh, that stupid blonde. I have to share a story. And the reason I said that, because I am kind of blonde now. The grays are gone. The blonde is here. I was with my daughter, and my oldest daughter, when she was very little, you know, she was blonde. And so she did something and she said something about being a stupid blonde or a dumb blonde. And I don't know where she heard that, but I told her, I said, you know, honey, you're a blonde, so that's not really something that you want to say. But, you know, there's things that we're prejudiced about. And you don't think about it. You think, oh, I'm not a prejudiced person. I'm in Southern California. You know what? Mankind is prejudiced. If we all looked exactly the same, there would still be prejudice. It's just in the heart of man. It's pride. It's sin. It's ugly. God doesn't like it. And those are things that we have to surrender to the Lord. So I want you to get your papers out. I want you just to write down quickly 5 things that you feel by the power of the Holy Spirit when you think of the word surrender that he may be calling you to surrender this weekend. 5 might be 5 things, 5 areas, 5 general, not just my life to be a surrender. I'm talking about get a little more specific with the Lord. Sometimes we pray these big general prayers and we think, oh, how is God ever going to answer that? Or he never answers my prayers. You need to get real specific with the Lord. And then you start seeing those specific prayers being answered. That's why it's very important to have a place where you write down those prayer requests and you have them written. You have the request. You have the answer. We've talked about prayer books till we're blue in the face. But they're important because then you see God's faithfulness in answering those small little requests that you ask him. Sometimes they're bigger, but a lot of times they're just daily requests. So I want 5 things turn to Hebrews chapter 12. Now, there might be more things. I mean, you guys might just have a whole list of like 10 things that come to your mind. But areas of surrender. One thing that I always bring before the Lord as far as my personal surrender is my dream life. I have a very active dream life, and I want it to be honoring and pleasing to the Lord, and I don't want to have these bizarre dreams that I have sometimes. So it's, you know, Lord, you come in and give me the dreams that you want me to have. Help me to dream about heaven and about angels and about good and pleasant and lovely things. So I have to make sure that what I'm putting in is that same way. I'm not putting in the junk, but I'm just saying that's an area. Some of you need to, you know, surrender some of your attitudes that you have, some things that you have said, maybe not out loud, but in your heart, I will not do this thing. I will not. You've made your mind up, and the Lord's asking you to do that thing, whatever that thing is. And you're wrestling. You're struggling. And Jesus is the example. You gotta, you have to fall down face first, and not your will, not my will, but your will be done, God. In your marriage, with your children, with your in-laws, your outlaws, I mean your in-laws. Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your what? Reasonable service. So there has to be a willingness on our part. It's a reasonable service to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Okay, if there was some other way for us to do that, if there was some other way for Jesus to have saved mankind without giving his life, then what he did on the cross would have been meaningless. But there was no other way. In Romans 3, it says, you know, there's none good, no, not one. None of us were good enough. We're not going to have enough good works, ever. And I don't care what position, you know, you're holding right now. And I know we try to justify ourselves. I was trying to think, okay, Lord, what are some of the ways that people try to be good enough? And these were just some of the things that I thought, oh, a person could say, you know, I'm full of good deeds. And in a lot of religions, good deeds are the way to go. Good deeds buy you out of purgatory. Good deeds, you know, will get you over onto the other side at some point in time. Maybe not when you die, but, you know, they'll add up. And people will pray for you, and they'll push you over onto the other side. Your honesty. I'm an honest person. I don't tell lies. I treat people with integrity. You know, my character counts. I'm a person of character. You know, I'm a servant. I serve others. I serve my family. I serve in my school. I serve it, you know, at my office, whatever the case may be. I've never killed anybody. I mean, how many times have, you know, I've been faithful to my husband. You know, that's a big deal now. Not that many women can say that. I try to follow the Ten Commandments. Well, good for you. You know, but that's not going to get you to heaven. Luke 13:5 says, and these are Jesus' words, I tell you, no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. So everyone will perish unless they repent. And even when you repent, your body's going to perish, but we're talking about your soul. Everybody's soul lives forever. And you know, that's a hard concept for adults to get, even harder concept for children to get. And as I have been trying to explain this concept of your spirit, your soul, versus your physical body, and talking about things dying and pets dying and they don't have a soul, and you know, all those things that you go into with kids. The one way that I've tried to explain it to my children is your soul is what looks out through your eyes. The part that nobody can see, it's inside you, but it's what is looking out of your eyes. That's your soul. That lives forever. Your body dies. Your soul, it either goes to heaven or it goes to hell. And it's interesting to see all the other things, all the other people who haven't come to terms with what the Bible says, and I believe the Bible to be true and the Word of God, they come up with all these other ideas. You know, they can come back and they can visit this person and that person, influence that person. They got to get this person's life right before they can, you know, all these crazy things. But the bottom line is, there is no middle ground. There is no, you know, intermediate area. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So when you die, you go to heaven or you go to hell. And the Lord doesn't want anyone to perish. He wants us all in heaven. So let's go ahead and read this parable. It's the fig tree parable. It says, then he said to the keeper of his vineyard, this is in, well, actually, let's go up to six. Then he spoke this parable, and this is Jesus' words. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it, and he found none. All right, so we're in the same chapter. We're in Luke 13. We just read what Jesus said about everyone's going to perish if you don't repent. So now he's going to explain it with a story. Then he said to the keeper of his vineyard, look, for 3 years I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down. Why does it use up the ground? But he answered and said to him, this is the vine dresser, sir, let it alone this year also until I dig around it and I'm going to fertilize it. And if it bears fruit, well, but if not, after that, you can cut it down. Now think about your own life. Think about issues that the Lord's trying to get a hold of your life. You know, for some of you, I don't know where you're going to be next year. Maybe you'll be on retreat with us. Maybe you won't. I don't know what the Lord is going to require of you in this next year. But what good is it for a man to gain the whole world but to lose his soul? And so there has to be repentance for you to enter the kingdom. And some of you are like this fig tree, and you're planted, and the Lord's coming by, and he's checking you for fruit, and there isn't any. And finally, by the third year, it's like, okay, that's it. He's just using up space, you know, cut that tree down. I don't know if that's you. I don't know if that's speaking to you, but I, as I was studying this, this was what I felt the Lord was trying to communicate is his great love and his great mercy. And he doesn't want anyone to perish. He doesn't want anyone not to go to heaven. That's why he sent his son. That's why Jesus died on the cross. That's why the example was surrender. That's why that's what we're supposed to do. And we're stubborn. We're strong-willed. And we're coming up against the wall, and the wall is you have got to surrender whatever it is you're holding on to. I don't know what those things are, but you know. And the Lord was dealing with you way before you came on this retreat, and now he has brought it to a head. It's time to deal with it. What are those areas? You have to surrender them to the Lord. And they may be very subtle areas, you know, but if you have a plane and it just gets a little bit off course, it's supposed to land in the next city, you know, right there, land perfectly, but, you know, coordination's off a little bit. Is it going to land in that city? No, it's going to crash. It's not going to have a landing place. It's going to crash. Think of the Leaning Tower of Pisa, you know, that foundation was just a little bit off, and for hundreds of years, you know, it's at the angle. You know, there's certain things that they're foundational issues with the Lord Jesus Christ. And you cannot build unless you have a solid foundation. And the solid foundation has to be the Lord. And you got to do it his way. See, that's the difference. Religion wants you to do it their way. But Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And nobody's going to come to the Father except through me. You have to go through Jesus. You have to believe. Now, that's where faith comes in, because it's impossible to please God, okay, without faith. You have to have faith. You have to believe. You have to know that you know that you know that Jesus Christ is the only way. And if you're not sure, then you suffer the consequences. And what are those consequences? They're severe, you know. Who's to say what's going to happen to us? You have to make your peace with the Lord. And you can't, you know, you don't need to be struggling over these same things, because you know what? You can struggle with them when you're 18, and you can struggle with them when you're 38, and you can struggle with them when you're 68. And the Lord still wants the surrender. And our wills are so strong. Jesus struggled. If Jesus struggled, how much more are we going to struggle? But the idea is surrender, surrender. Think about the ocean. Think about, you know, that ebb and that flow and having that kind of relationship with the Lord. If the Lord never corrected you or never wanted you to be better than what you are, more, if the Father didn't want you to be more like His Son, Jesus, we'd just travel on our merry way. Sin all week long and, you know, ask the Lord to forgive us on Sunday and sin all week long the next week and ask the Lord to forgive us on Sunday and sin all that. You know, at some point, you guys, you have to stop sinning. You have to have the conviction of the Holy Spirit where He says, enough. Don't do that anymore. Have you guys ever felt that? Have you been spanked from the Lord and said, that is it? You know, if you haven't been disciplined, it says that you're not a true child. You know, if you don't discipline your kids, you guys have all seen them, those kids that are totally wild and out of control. You think, man, if the mother would just give that kid a swat, you know, I'll do it. But you can't. But you know what I'm saying? You just, we get disciplined and we come to a weekend like this and the Lord wants to change it up a little bit. He wants to show us these areas because He loves us, because His mercies are great. His love is great. He's tender towards us. He's calling us and wooing us by His Holy Spirit to walk a deeper, holier life. And it's not easy in this day and age, is it? Is it easy to be a modest woman in this day and age? You know? I mean, look at, there's just not a lot of even clothing choices that are modest nowadays. It's crazy, isn't it? You can barely even find regular underwear anymore. It's hard. Some of these things, it's hard to be, you know, but yet there's a place. There's a place where we can do that if we desire, if we surrender our likes to the Lord. Show me a way. I think a lot of things we don't have because we're not asking the Lord. We're really, truly not spending enough time with Jesus. I think that's the bottom line. We're just not spending the time. Because if you spent the time, He'd tell you things and He'd show you things. And He'd reveal Himself to you because just like the prodigal, when the prodigal came back, what did the father do? All the prodigal did was started moving in that direction, and the father turned around and ran towards him. You know, the prodigal didn't have to get all the way, and the father's working, and, hey, Dad, I'm home. You know, no way, man. The party was ready for him by the time he got there. The clean clothes and the ring and the whole bit, you know. So it's just a turning. All we do is turn towards the Lord, and He's right there. And you guys just aren't making the time. I've fallen into that trap myself. So you have to carve it out. And I don't know where you carve that out in your life. We're all busy. Think about all the things that you do. How did you guys even get here this weekend? You know, it's almost miraculous. The things that people had to do to get here. Drive 2.5 hours on the freeway, you know, work a whole day, take a sick day, get someone to watch your kids, make the meals, check in with your husband, find somebody for the dogs, you know, go to the doctors before you could even get here. That's one thing about growing older. Don't you spend a lot more time at the doctors? You know, all those things just to get here, you know, but you're here. You're here. And that's honoring to the Lord. And I'm glad that you're here. I'm glad that you made it. I'm glad you took the time and said, you know what? My walk with the Lord is important enough for me to get here because I know God wants to speak to me. I know He does. So you know that. So you're in a good place. People have prayed for you. The soil here is like so ready to receive the word because there's been a lot of intercession. There's been a lot of spiritual warfare. There's been a lot of good things happening before we've even gathered together. Because Jesus loves us and He wants us to have this surrendered life. But boy, do we struggle against it. There's nothing like losing weight and then Christmas comes. And you say to yourself, just a few of my favorite See's candy won't make too much of a difference. And then before you know it, you've eaten the whole box. And then, oh, this thing and that thing. And, you know, and you've lost. And then you go to Christmas. And then January comes. Why do you think the gyms are full in January? You are so doggone sick of yourself. If you see another box of candy, you will just throw it. And then you kind of forget about it because all of a sudden Valentine comes and you start eating it again. It's crazy. Isn't it? Our wills are so weak. They are weak, 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 weak. And so if they're weak for just physical things, how much more are they weak for spiritual things? It says the flesh and the spirit, they wage war against each other inside of us. We want to do the right thing, but we don't do the things that we want to do that we know are right. You know, it's just the struggle. But there is a place of surrender where you surrender to the Lord. And again, it's only between you and Him, and you know when you reach that place. You know when you've been humbled enough. When your feet have been cut out from underneath you, you've been humbled enough to say, this is it. This is it. I will not struggle with this anymore. I am going to surrender it to the Lord. And that's what the Lord's looking for, those hearts that are truly, truly ready. Not that it's going to be easy, but so much of it is in our mind, of purposing in our heart that I am not going to sin against the Lord anymore. And again, there's, you know, people think of sin as black and white, but there's the whole gray area. And the gray area is sin as well. Because the gray area is things that are sin for you and not for another sister. There's things that the Lord's told you to do, and you're not doing it. And it's not sin to your sister next to you. It's the gray area. You guys know what I'm talking about? Certain ways that you act, certain attitudes that you have, and they're not sinful, but for you, they're wrong. And yet you're still participating in doing it over and over and over again. You know, isn't it a bummer when you have a kid and they just don't get it? And you just do everything that you can. And, you know, it just wears you down. It wears you down as a parent. Thank God that He doesn't feel like that towards us, that He's divine. And, but, you know, I think it's nice, that example that I read to you about the dog, you know, got the little leash in its mouth, just next to its master. You know, that's the way God wants us, just right there, obedient, listening. Okay, we're walking over here to the right. Okay, Lord, I'm right there. And He doesn't have to push you and pull you and shove you and nudge you and kick you and, you know, all these things to get you to, you know, tug on you. Isn't that the worst? You know, when you walk your dog, do you walk your dog or does your dog walk you? You see people and they can't control them. I mean, they are just literally out of control. It's embarrassing. It's actually embarrassing. And I would think to myself, you know what? You just need to take your dog home because you are embarrassing yourself. You know, you just, and sometimes they're real teeny tiny little dogs. It's a big man walking this little dog and that dog is just ruling the roost. And it's embarrassing. It's embarrassing, Christians. It's embarrassing, sisters, for the Lord to be having to deal with some of the stuff that He's dealing with us because you're too old. You're not a baby anymore. You're a mature believer, and you should have surrendered these things years ago. How sad. But on the other hand, God is so gracious and so loving and so kind. His mercies are new every morning. And He wants you to, again, He's asking you. He never forces us. That's one thing that is so awesome about the Lord. You know, just think about this. God did not force anybody to marry. Any of you here were not forced by God. God didn't make you marry your husband. You chose him all on your own. Now, the Holy Spirit may have influenced you. Something else may have influenced you. I don't know what it was, but God did not say, you will marry this person. You know, he doesn't treat us like that. There are choices. And then we live with the consequences of those choices. Those choices are ours all alone to make. And in the area of surrender, the choice to surrender is ours. We're saved. If we believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sin, if we believe that He was born of a virgin, that He sits at the right hand with the Father, He saved us from our sin through the shedding of His blood on the cross, we're saved. So it's not a salvation issue. It's a quality of Christian life experience issue. It's a surrender issue. And the more you're surrendered, the more pliable you are. And the Lord can use you in so many different ways. You know, when you look at the talents, the parable of the talents, you know, one was given 10, one was given 5, one was given 1, the one that had 1 buried it. And when you know, the master came by to see what was happening, he told the one that buried it, at least put it in the bank, let it gain some interest. He took that away and gave it to the person with 10. It's almost like the people that are so busy, God gives them more because they're using their talent. They may not be the best, but they're using their gifts and talents and abilities. You can't hide those. And so you need to walk in surrender and not hiding your talents, using them for the Lord Jesus Christ, surrendering those weak areas, which we all have, girls. We all have weak areas, don't we? Do any of you know anybody that has a perfect smile with no cavities? Don't you just hate them? You know, they smile and they're white and they're pearly. I mean, like all now when you go to the movies, that's all you see, or any time. I mean, they're just perfect, and you know, they're beautiful. And the people that sing, the singers, they open their mouth to sing, and there's no metal inside there. It's all just beautiful and white, and you know, it's great. But some of that is genetics. Some people, they just have great teeth and there's no cavities. But others have had transplants and caps and all those kinds of things, and you know, think about, you know, we want to, that's what the Lord can do. He can take a mouth that's full of metal and he can make it beautiful. He can take your life that's junky and full of just awful things. And as you surrender those things to the Lord, he can bring beauty from ashes. That one last thing I want to leave you with. Let's turn to the Old Testament, Isaiah 61. This is what God is able to do as we surrender to the Lordship, his Lordship in our lives. It's a promise. It's in the Word. God's Word is true. We stand on it. I think there's a song that goes with this too. Maybe we could sing that song later. But the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal. Now these are the things that he's going to do: to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty, freedom to the captives. There's bondage that you guys are in, and the Lord declares freedom, freedom in Christ, and the opening of the prisons to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn. Those of you that are in mourning, that are sad over some situation, the supernatural comfort of the Holy Spirit, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them, oh, this is awesome right here, girls, beauty for ashes. That whatever ash heap you guys have in your life from whatever has happened in your past, God can bring beauty from it. Only the Lord Jesus Christ can do that. The oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise, I love this one, for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. So those promises are yours if you believe. Without faith, it's impossible to please the Lord. You have to have faith in the Word of God that it's true, that God will heal the brokenhearted, that he can give you beauty for ashes, that you can experience the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. When you are so beaten down, you just have to worship the Lord, and the freedom comes. Is it easy? No. Was it easy for Jesus to go to the cross? No. Was it easy for Abraham to sacrifice Isaac, his only son? How do you think he felt when he walked up the mountain? Just him and his son, and the son saying, Dad, I don't see any sacrifice here. Oh, don't worry, son. You know, didn't give him the whole picture there. That was hard for him. There's things that the Lord wants us to put on the altar tonight, to sacrifice tonight, to surrender tonight to him. This is the altar. I mean, anything can be an altar. You know, you can kneel down and that can be an altar. But tonight, for the sake of where we're at, this little area right here is going to be the altar area. And I want ladies to come forward. We're going to have just Tony play quietly. We're not going to sing any more worship. We're just going to think about those five things that we wrote down. Maybe there's more that the Lord's spoken to you, but I know that there's at least one area for every woman. Maybe there's five, maybe there's 10. I don't know how many, but there's areas of surrender. You knew the retreat was coming. You knew what it was about. You knew surrender, surrender. It's been pounded into your head. Lord, speak to me. Show me what it is that you want me to surrender, and I will willingly do that. What a small price to pay. It's our reasonable service because we present our bodies as a living sacrifice. We put ourselves on the altar and say, God, your will be done. We surrender those things to the Lord. Do you believe God can do this for you? Can you surrender tonight? Is it a possibility? All things are possible. But it's going to take a little bit of faith. And we're not going to do it sitting in our chairs. Tony's going to come up. We're going to do it. Maybe we can dim these lights because these are pretty bright lights. We're going to just spend the time. So once you've surrendered what you need to the Lord, then you look to the right or to the left. And if there's someone else, you can go and pray for them. But everybody can surrender something. The smallest things to the largest things. It doesn't matter to the Lord. But there's an area of surrender that the Lord is wanting to work in your heart. He's begun to do it. He's been doing it through this whole message. You've been pricked by the Holy Spirit. For some of you, it may be salvation. Some of you sitting here might not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And that's the first surrender that you have to get to. So some of you need salvation. And those of you that know the Lord, you need these other areas. You need a trimming, a pruning. The Lord trims, the vine dresser trims the plant, the bush, the tree, so it can bear more fruit. Is pruning easy? You know, does it hurt? Yeah. When the Lord sees some branch that's kind of going crazy and he has to whack it off because it's not bearing fruit, yeah, that hurts. You know, but then when it grows back, it produces that fruit of righteousness, that pure fruit. The one that just doesn't look good, but it tastes good on the inside. That's what we're talking about. Surrender produces that good fruit. And just practically, there's no strangeness about coming before the Lord. Just like we pray, we worship, we come to the altar. So we take an active, you know, Christianity is just not sitting in your seats. I mean, you have to actively participate. So this is an act of participation that we're doing. We're going to come out of our seats, and we're going to come forward, and we're going to pray. And the Lord's going to meet us here. Because why? Because he loves us. Because he wants to meet us here. Because he wants to deal with whatever these issues are. If you can start dealing with them tonight, how much better is it going to be by the time we leave on Sunday? Huh? I think there's more things that the Lord's going to be dealing with you tomorrow in the workshops. We've got some great workshops that you guys have to choose from. Lots of time this whole weekend. There's no television. There's, you know, no husbands, no cleaning, no cooking, no children. I love it. You know, there's freedom to just be with Jesus and let him minister to you. And that's what he's wanting to do. So we're going to start tonight. We're just going to have people come forward. This is going to be what we consider our altar. And we're going to do what Romans says. Romans 12, which it says, we beseech you, therefore, to present your bodies. That's what we're going to do. We're going to present our bodies as a living sacrifice and say, Lord, your will be done. I'm surrendering my will. I've been fighting against you. I've been wrestling against you over this issue. I am just going to submit this issue, whatever it is, to the Lord. That you love the Lord Jesus enough and you believe that if you give him whatever this thing is, whatever you surrender to him, whatever you give up, whatever you're yielding over to him, that he is going to be the rewarder. You have to believe that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So if you believe that, it's very easy to surrender because you know God has a greater reward. Amen? But you have to believe it. The Lord, the last few months, asked me to let go of something that was huge, and I still don't understand it. But you know what the Lord ministered to me? And I mean, I was weeping. I was crying. I was like, I don't understand. The Lord clearly spoke to my spirit and said, do you not believe that I could give you something better than this? And I had to ask myself, yeah, I do believe that. As wonderful as I thought this was, do I believe that God could give me something greater? Yeah, I do. Then why don't you act it? You know, why are you downcast, oh my soul? You know, that's what it was like. Just, oh, I can't believe it. You know, it was like, boom, boom. Okay, Lord, I do believe it. Okay, then you have to walk like you believe it. You don't walk off. You believe, if you believe the word of God, then you act upon what it tells you to do, and then you go forward in that. and you walk forward in surrender, and God will reward you. Do you believe God will reward you? Do you believe it?
Yes.
Do you believe that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him?
Yes.
Do you believe that the Word of God is true?
Yes.
Do you believe that God is good?
Yes.
Do you believe that He has your best interest at heart?
Yes.
Then how easy is it going to be for us just to stand up, come forward to the altar, and give that whatever that is? I had you write five things, but it could be something totally different than that. It could be those five. It could be more, whatever. You've already started thinking about it. Come forward. Act of obedience. I know it's going to be kind of crowded. You know, I guess the only reason you wouldn't come is because physically you can't. And I understand that. Some of you can't. But if you can, if it's at all possible, if it's in the realm of possibility, do it and be blessed. Nobody can force you. God is not going to force you if you stay in the chair, you know. But let's part. This is going to be an active retreat, active participation. We're doing things a little bit different this year. You're having group devotions in your room in the morning. So everyone's going to be in the Word together. You have a leader that's going to be doing that in your rooms. Okay? We're collaborating. We're communicating. We are together in this. We are learning together. We are practicing. We are actively learning what it means to surrender. And this is section A. This is going to see if you pass that first test. So let's go ahead and stand, and I'll close this in prayer. Lord Jesus, You're so good to us, and You have, by Your Holy Spirit, wooed us. You love us, Lord, and we do believe You for good things. We do believe, Lord God, that if we truly surrender to You, that You will reward us with something greater and better. When we die, Lord, to self, when we lay our life down, Lord God, that we will gain it in Your name, for Your sake. You'll bring something beautiful from ashes, from these situations, Lord Jesus, that we find ourselves in that are just not pleasing to You, Lord, that we're like that fig tree not bearing any fruit, and we don't want to be cut down. We want You to come, Holy Spirit, and change us and convict us and challenge us and motivate us and woo us. So we pray that You would accomplish, Lord, and begin to accomplish the things that You want to tonight. Bring salvation, Lord God. May the ones that don't know You come forward and receive You in faith. May the mature believers, Lord, re-examine their hearts and minds and confess and repent. And You're faithful to forgive us, Lord. So all these things we want to happen tonight and to be accomplished in Your name. We pray all these things, Lord Jesus. Thank You for Your word, Jesus.